You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
So I'm standing there and I hear these kids screaming, and it's like when your kid says, "Mommy," you know their voice, and it's the same way with the shrill. So I run outside and I see my middle child sitting on the roof of my car with one shoe on, and I see the youngest, the girl, punching the oldest, a boy, right in the poison ivy, which means she's going to get it as well. And the two friends are there, and they're just like bewildered and intrigued and just stoking this little dumpster fire. And it's, I got a glimpse of what the crowd looked like when they yelled, "Free Barabbas, free Barabbas." And so the youngest is fighting with the oldest because the oldest took the fun-sized Airhead that they found squished in the seats. And if you know gas station candy, you know that's the worst flavor. And it's also a false nomenclature of being the fun size. And they're just fighting over garbage candy in my garbage car, acting like garbage kids. And I'm just like, I can't even contain the chaos. And so I just hop into my car like a bank robber and I peel out into Mountain Brook Village, and I'm just barreling through, just like barely making it. And the screaming is so loud, the only way I know to self-soothe is I just start to turn the music way up. And it's ironically Good Day by Forrest Frank. And it is so absurd that the youngest starts to just laugh. She stops crying. And it was, yeah. And then we merged onto 280 and got stuck in traffic again. And it was just like, this is it. This is it. I had spent my whole day praying and pontificating about what good and graceful parenting looked like, and this is where I found myself. It was that morning was like me on top of Mount Sinai, and Moses and I are just like glowing and learning and talking to God, and we're writing and teaching all these really good commandments on how to make a really good nation of children. And and then we come down. Then we come down and a school gets out. He and I show up to pick up with all these good things and all these good things to give out. And the Israelites and my children are just screaming and yelling and worshiping a golden calf, getting ready for war. It wasn't a happy afternoon, but it was a good day. 2 days later, I am praying for this class again. And I'm sitting in my May intensive class that I should not have taken, but I felt guilty about dropping it. It was ironically on martyrdom, and I leave early just so I can have an hour to sit in silence in the Sam's Club parking lot waiting for my grocery order. And if that isn't a glimpse of motherhood, I don't know what is. Motherhood is sitting at a series of red lights, jonesing for the next movement, but getting honked at when it turns green because you weren't paying attention and you weren't ready to move just yet. So I look at you today and I say with a straight face and a full chest, I do not know how to parent gracefully. I'm still trying to outparent what my parents did, and my kids are still going to be full of their own trauma and they're still going to go to therapy just for different things. I may not know how to parent gracefully, but I do know a parent that knows how to love us perfectly and teaches us how to live well. And somehow, I'm invited to that feast and into that family, and I simply just have to show up. He gets my kids dressed for eternity. He sleep trains them into him. He takes them on play dates to greener pastures. He feeds them better, he knows them better, he loves them more, and he loves them far better than I ever will. And despite myself, my kids will be parented gracefully and gently by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, God the Father. And God, forever being the gentle parent, just says, "Hey, I've got this. Just follow my lead." And we see this from the beginning. We see this in Genesis. We know that God is so full of love and so full of life that he gives over his spirit and gives birth into creation. We also know it's not good for Adam to be alone. So he gives the earth and he gives Adam, the mother of all living things. Eve. And when we sin, God comes to us first and says, in love, where are you? Where are you? When your kids play hide and seek, and mine did as well, they would obviously go hide behind a curtain or they'd get under a table. And you could just see the little toes sticking out. You could just see the knees shaking. They were just so excited. And to draw them out of hiding, I would simply walk around and say something like, oh, my, 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 where could they possibly be? And they would just get beside themselves giggling, and they would jump out and say, here I am, here I am. But that's not what happened in the garden. Because we played ball in the house, and we broke something God asked us not to, which was his heart. And so when he asked, where are you? It's not to shame us. It's a chance to repent. Because repentance is an invitation. It's not condemnation. And God loves us so much that he sacrifices his own creation, his own heart, and later his own son to bring us back into the fold. And so we've been exiled from glory and we're walking into doom. And we realize that parenting has always been on the run, and it's always been done on the fly. Every single day, it's our first day on the job. And we're doing it in a foreign land that hates our existence and our future one. The Exodus started at the garden, and the spoiler alert is we're still in it. We're still walking. this isn't funny, but it kind of is. The very parents that walked and talked with God parented so poorly that the first children murdered the other. What's interesting, though, is we never actually see what Adam and Eve look like when they parent in paradise. We see God parent, absolutely, but never what it would look like for us to parent in paradise. We have no idea what that looks like, and yet, in our own minds, we have our own expectations of what to do and what to accomplish and how we can do it better for our children's sake. And these are expectations that are resentments waiting to happen. It really is exhausting to tell you about all the terrible parents in the Bible. So I'm just going to skip straight to the New Testament and tell you the story about the mom who accidentally lost her sixth grader for 3 days in the near ancient Middle East version of New York City during the Macy's Day Parade. And that's Mary, the mother of Jesus. So Luke 2 tells us when Mary and Joseph finally get home, or when they finally get to Jesus, they're relieved, but they're also deeply upset. Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you. Jesus responds, why were you searching for me? He asked. Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house? But they didn't understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. Three times in Luke 2, we hear about Mary treasuring these things up in her heart. The first time is at the birth when the shepherds show up, and they know a thing or two about spotting the perfect lamb. The second time, Mary marveled when Simon, the prophet and the priest, holds the baby up, Jesus, and says, I can finally die. I can finally die. I am looking at salvation. This is a light of revelations to the Gentile, and this will be the glory to Israel. And then the third time is when Jesus, having been unaccounted for 3 days, is found safe in his father's house, sitting with the teachers, listening to them, and asking questions. They were astonished when they saw him. This is gonna sound like that commercial that used to play at 10 o'clock at night, but parents, do you know where your children are? Are you more concerned about the friends that they have instead of the type of friend that they could become? Are you more concerned about making every plan and every game when sitting out might teach a better lesson? Are you more concerned about their college career or their AIMS web score than what they're learning about God right now? It's really easy to regulate important stuff later because urgent is just so now. But laying beside them at night when you're both so exhausted and just saying, oh Lord, I believe, help my unbelief, help. is enough to just bring us all home. Aren't you astonished when from the back of your car you just hear your little child singing, "Jesus loves the little children"? Or when your son comes up to you and just gives you a hug out of nowhere and says, "Thank you"? Do you marvel when another mom comes up to you and says, "Your children are just so well-behaved and well-mannered"? They're always saying, "Yes, ma'am." They're always welcome at our house. It seems like God is doing the mightier work, and this work's more mightier than parting the Red Seas, because my heart just parts and steps aside, and Jesus lets my kids walk through it, and I walk behind them. And I'm already batting cleanup on all of their meals anyway, so the idea that God is laying out this feast of breadcrumbs for me to follow as well. Mary did not understand what God was doing for her son, but she did know whose son he really was. From the beginning, she set aside her ideas of marriage, motherhood, and childhood, and willingly and obediently said, "Wherever you take me, I will go." Even to the point of my own heart being pierced. Not my will, but your will be done. And Jesus says those same words in the Garden of Gethsemane on the eve of his crucifixion. I like to imagine he's standing back at the garden gates and he's about to knock and saying, "Father, if you could, just remove this cup from me." But he remembers where he's standing is where the first mother once stood when she was barred from the presence of God, where she realized that she lost it all. Where you and I stand, begging to be let back in because we know that we don't have what it takes to make it out of there alive. Not my will, but your will be done. So, hell-bent on honoring his mother and his father and returning wayward children to their wayward parents, he willingly obeys. He prays so intensely for us and our children that his sweat becomes like great drops of blood falling to the ground. And it's the same ground that once cried out with the blood of Cain, and it's the same ground and the same dust that Adam was once made from and that we will return to. Jesus knows what it's like to lose paradise, to lose his children, and to lose God. And he does not want the same for you. So Jesus turns the other cheek, and he turns around, and he goes to give it all back. And on the cross, we see that Jesus gives over his spirit so that you could have a chance at it once more. The Holy Spirit given to us at Pentecost is the same spirit that split the world open, that tore down the veil, that broke apart those graves, that baptizes you into the kingdom and will keep you there forever. It's the same spirit that will teach you to follow God and all of his commandments and to sit at his feet. And this is the same spirit that dwells in the hearts of your children too. He is talking to them and they are listening. And you get to watch. So store these treasures up in your heart. And despite herself, Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. And despite ourselves, our children will be gracefully parented. Good parenting is not a hands-off, it's a handing over. The best present you'll receive today is grace, and that is a gift you will receive tomorrow and the day after that and after that. Because every day brings new mercies, and the Lord has called us to be a mother of all that. So, today I want to help you pray like a mother. The gospel is really personal, and because it's a person, and I want our prayers to reflect that. So these prayers you're going to receive right now aren't very deep at all because I'm sprinting a marathon. And the prayers, you know, as Bethany Frankel says, mention it all. So we are. If y'all could take one and pass it around, that would be great. They're kind of silly, but it's just how I felt this week. Whenever I'm especially full of guilt and anxiety and confusion and just all the things at once, I like to write down my sin. And then I just say, like, "Oh, Lord, have mercy. And then next to it, I like to write down the forgiveness. And so that's what I've done kind of with this. It's a call and response. Eventually, the smoke and the mirrors will leave, and the enemy will be like, oh, can't get her today. I'll try again tomorrow. But being able to see my sin and to be able to see where I'm forgiven is just a constant putting back on every day. So initially, I was going to have us all sit in a circle, and we'd all take turns saying it, but I didn't want y'all to have to perform any more than you already do, and there's certainly no place for that at church. So I also didn't want to assume any one of y'all is as addicted to TikTok as I once was. So we are going to read responsibly and responsively. So repeat the words out in bold, okay, if you can. Okay, so does everyone have one? Ish. I don't know how many copies I made, but all right. Lord, I was ma'am today. There's no going back. No amount of Botox, targeted ads of vitamins, and targeted exercise classes that will save me from this body of death. The prosperity gospel of eat better, live better will consume me if I let it. Let this altar fire consume my heart. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Lord, you've given me a church full of women, full of life, and along every step of life. Thank you for this village. Oh, Lord, how good. Lord, the laundry never stops. The cycles never end. It's also because I left the wet clothes sitting and setting in mildew again. Can it also be established somewhere that by doing the laundry means all of it, not just starting it? That's not a dig at anyone, I promise. When will I learn I can't do it all, especially when I don't ask for help? Oh, Lord, how long? Lord, with you, dirty clothes become robes of righteousness. Oh, Lord, all is well. Lord, I'm a liar. I told my kids I was too tired to read them a bedtime story tonight, but I stayed up for 6 more hours watching 90-second clips of a show I never cared to watch in its full. I'm mindlessly trying to escape the very things I hold near, dear. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Lord, you're the parent that willingly takes the night shift day after day after my long day. Oh, Lord, how good. Lord, I forgot another crazy hat day, another bring 22 individualized gifts with handwritten notes. I did not sign their assignment book or make that dentist appointment. The ABC countdown has me counting down my last nerve. And if I'm honest, before they even sent it out, I knew it was coming and I already gave up. No rung on that food pyramid was met in that dinner we did not eat together. Oh, Lord, how long? Lord, you're the author and the creator of life. There is no better countdown I'm partaking in. You will give them and be for them better food. Let us partake in the celebration. Oh, Lord, all is well. Lord, when my house is the cleanest is when I am my worst self. No one is allowed to live life. Lord, let me pour out my spirit as I pour out the long-abandoned glasses of milk or the half-drunk Gatorade bottles I find throughout my house. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Lord, you poured out your spirit so that I might drink from deeper wells and seek greener pastures. Oh, Lord, how good. Lord, I would rather redecorate than renovate the living room of my heart. It's too inconvenient, too uncomfortable to not live on my own terms. How do we do this? How do we live life on your terms? It's hard to see the pearl of great worth when I'm surrounded by Instagram purchases and Amazon binges, other people's perfect life, and my own personal mess. Oh, Lord, how long? Lord, you are decorating, cleaning, and building a house of many rooms for me and my family. Your southern hospitality knows no bounds. Help me be the hostess for the utmostess. Oh, Lord, all is well. Lord, I'm a fraud. I told my husband not tonight, but what I meant was not ever. I just cannot take one more need that I have to meet. It's all on me if I make it about me. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Lord, you married me. Let me enjoy the feast. Oh, Lord, how good. Lord, I have more faith that my coffee will get me through the day and that my car will get me where I'm going than I trust you will do the same. I need a vacation from the vacation and a rained out practice to get some respite. Oh Lord, how long? Lord, you are my rest and you can handle the rest. Oh Lord, all is well. Lord, I'm trying to outparent my childhood trauma, but I'm just making new ones. I roll my eyes and eternally complain. Just leave me alone. Give me one more minute. Created in my image, my children will return the favor and do this to me in just a few years. Lord, have mercy. Lord, you are the mother hen, gathering us under your wings from destruction. Only you can turn these stones into children. Take my rubble. Oh, Lord, how good. Lord, my life is unmanageable, so I micromanage a few more. Oh, Lord, how long? Lord, you made the plans for my life, and you will see it into completion. I am a willing participant, your passenger princess. Oh, Lord, all is well. Lord, how can I teach my children not to fight when I can't stop fighting with my husband? How can I enforce screen time when it took a national ban to get me off of TikTok? I can't put on anyone else's oxygen mask until I put on my own. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Lord, you calm hearts, soothe wounds, heal bones and souls. Breath of life, give me breath. Oh, Lord, how good. Lord, how much more do I need to fall before I reach out just for the hem of your garment? Oh, Lord, how long? Lord, from Sheol to Shoal Creek, you are there. There is no place I can go that you are not. You are the Father of steadfast love. Your mercy is new every day. Your grace abounds, and it is sufficient. Let me sit at your feet, and you will give me rest. Lord, you will make my mountains a road, and my highways will be raised up. Sing for joy, O heavens, and exalt, O earth. Break forth, O mountains, into singing. For the Lord comforts his people and will have compassion on the afflicted. Can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should have no compassion on the son and daughter of her womb? Even those may forget, yet you will not forget. Behold, you have me engraved on the palms of your hand. Your walls are ever before me. O Lord, all is well. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you'll join us for one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.